speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
One of the most puzzling, I suppose, of all problems is the problem of human suffering. Why must we suffer in this life? Why must there be heartache and disappointment? Why must there be disease and death? And perhaps even more especially, why do the innocent suffer? Some of us have wrestled with this problem. We have wondered how it is that God, who loves us so much, should allow suffering to come into our homes. Sometimes our questions come at the death of a parent upon whom we have depended through the years, or sometimes it's through a long and severe illness that we come face to face with the problem of human suffering, or at another time it's in connection with a child that we love so much. The very nature of the universe helps to explain, I believe, the problem of human suffering. If you think for a moment of what we call the laws of nature, we look at the whole universe, it's a system of law and order. It's a system in which everything is faithful and predictable in many ways. Scientific investigations made in one part of the world can be verified through the same experiments that are performed in another part of the world. So there is uniformity throughout the natural laws of our universe. There must be, or our world would not work. Now, principles true today must be true a year from today. Principles in one part of the world must be true in another, or else we will not know how to build a civilization. Now, this uniformity, this system of law and order, has much to do with man's suffering in the world. For example, take the subject of fire. The natural laws of the universe, which God set in order when He created the world, include certain principles which enable man, if he uses the right elements and the right processes, to create fire. We now do it through striking of a match or through flipping a switch, which is simply a cooperation with the laws of the universe. Now, the same law that enables us to have fire for the cooking of our meals and for the warmth of our homes also enables us to have fire which will burn our houses to the ground, which will destroy lives. Now, the law that made it possible to have fire for constructive purposes may be misused in the hands of an arsonist for destructive purposes. One of man's greatest achievements has been production of the automobile. But along with the fine uses, there's also tragic uses and misuses and abuses of automobiles. Take the subject of steel. Steel makes possible great buildings. Also, steel metal can be used for guns and tanks and instruments of war. The principles of nature, if used properly, result in good. But if used improperly, they have within themselves the power of destruction. Now, when God made man a creature of freedom, He opened the door to suffering. It could be no other way. When God made the universe, He made it possible for man to use his freedom to find the good. But this also included the possibility of finding evil and suffering. Why does man suffer? It is because he or his ancestors or his neighbors have misused their freedom in the basic sense. In some way, he has violated some of God's laws and has destroyed that which God wished to be perfect and whole. When the subject of human suffering is mentioned, man generally assumes that all suffering is because of evil. This is a presupposition that's been around from biblical days. In John chapter 9, there was a man who was born blind. And the people jumped to the same conclusion that people seem to draw today. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, when we look at the subject of suffering, we're going to be able to see that not all suffering is due to evil. Man's primary purpose in existence is to honor and glorify God, to become as much like God as it's humanly possible. And with this being so, everything that takes him away from God is evil, and everything that brings man toward God is good. And when we have accepted this standard, we can see the events of our lives in a different perspective. It's quite possible that the riches, the honors, the pleasures of this world are actually hindrances rather than helps. And it's quite possible that illness or the loss of money, even the loss of friends, might ultimately serve some good purpose. Under certain circumstances, poverty is even better than riches. Jesus said on one occasion, as recorded in Luke 12, verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Yet all too often the material things of our world blind us to the spiritual things and become curses instead of blessings. Not just for time, but become curses for eternity. Riches and honors and pleasures are not necessarily evils. They can be blessings. It all depends on our attitude toward them. It depends on how we use them. Do they draw us closer to God? Or do they drive us away from Him? No one would claim that suffering is good in and of itself. But what is good is that through suffering, man is often brought into submission to the will of God. And it's quite possible that the frowns of the world are better than the honors of the world. It's quite possible that illness is better than health. Many would consider this completely unreasonable. But remember, our primary concern in living is to honor and to glorify God. We're not here just to go to work, just to breathe, and go to bed, and get up the next day, go to work, breathe, and the same old monotonous process. We're here for a purpose. And the man who spends some time on his back in a hospital room may see things much clearer than he had ever seen them before when he was going through life without a care, without direction. Now, we do not say that when we become sick, we are to rejoice. But we do believe that if we accept illness in the proper manner, it can be a blessing. Much of the pain that we suffer is remedial in character. It's part of the deceitfulness of sin that so long as things are going well, there's little reason to give up error in sin. It's when we hurt that we feel a need for God. And it's by suffering that we overcome. A man who has no sorrow in this life is immature and may never really appreciate joy without there being some sorrow. And it's through the suffering that accompanies hard work that we develop physical stamina. It's through suffering that we learn to overcome the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Things that looked so glamorous before, after a period of crisis in which we come face to face with the real issues of life, those things that were once glamorous may look like something that's gaudy and unattractive. There's a passage in the letter to the Hebrews in which God tells us that He allows us to suffer. And you know why? Because of His love for us. I read, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. It is for chastening that we endure. God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father chasteneth not? Furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh to chasten us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed good to them. But He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. All chastening seemeth for the present to be not joyous but grievous. Yet afterward it yieldeth peaceable fruit unto them that have been exercised thereby, even the fruit of righteousness." Now in this reading from Hebrews 12, verse 6 through verse 11, we see that suffering can be very remedial, and it can be at the hand of God because of His love. That's what David meant when in Psalms 119, verse 71, he wrote, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. Well, suffering can be very remedial. Suffering is not always evil. It can be at the hand of God. We're going to be noticing some other factors involved in the problem of human suffering, and hopefully see some principles that can help us to grow through difficult situations, to be more like God. And as Solomon said and long ago, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.